Was that the show? The countdown part? That could be the entire show.
We should just count down from like 6,000.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
And then like at certain numbers, you can make, you know, weird, random, you know, like prime number references and stuff like that.
Okay. Or like when we get to like, get down to like, say 4,256, what would that mean to you?
No, it doesn't mean anything.
It should mean everything to you.
It doesn't. What should it mean?
That's how many career base hits Pete Rose had, the record.
Oh, okay. What about 63?
63. That's nothing. That's literally nothing. No. That is, I don't know. I don't know if that's even a meaningful number. 3 times 21? Okay. And 21 is like, what is,
well,
what is
no, that? What about the number of consecutive game hits for 56. Ted Williams? Oh, 63.
For Ted Williams. Though. Did you just say Ted Williams?
Yeah, it's not Ted. Oh, it's Ted. God. Oh, you know what? Ted DiBiase.
Yes, Ted DiBiase.
The Million That's Dollar Man.
Yeah. It wasn't Joe DiMaggio.
Frank Thomas.
Yeah, Frank Thomas. Well, Pete Rose had 44. Like, that was amazing to do.
That's
like,
pretty good. What's second on that list?
44.
Oh, really? That's the second most consecutive hits. Oh, interesting.
56 games is ridiculous.
63 would be better than 56.
63 would be 7 better, yeah. Well, legendarily, not a word, he hit in 56 straight games and then gets shut out in game 57, hits a couple of frozen ropes down the third baseline when a dude named Ken Keltner, there's the dustbin of history, made two phenomenal diving plays and just robbed him of a hit. Which would have done it, and then I forget the number now. But after that, he had like a 19 game hit streak. After that,
wow, I'm pretty sure he was destined to get 63.
He married Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, bad call.
Yeah, bad call. Right. Yeah. After she died, he sent it was like a dozen red roses to her gravesite every single day.
For 63 weeks.
For 63 consecutive weeks. No, up until he died, I think. It's Joey D.
Really?
But he hit right-handed, so I shouldn't know that much about a right-handed hitter because I'm a snob. I'm a lefty snob. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joey D. And he had two brothers who played in the majors as well.
Wow. Tony D and Robbie D.
Vince, and I can't think of the other one right now.
Oh.
I don't know why I can't think of Dom. Vince and Dom. DiMaggio.
Dominic.
Yeah.
Dom.
Okay, that's enough DiMaggio.
DiMaggio. Yeah, double Dom.
Dom DiMaggio. Yeah. So, and that was back in the days. Back in the days. When there was only like 16 teams and black people couldn't play. They were not allowed.
Right.
So, there's that.
way to bring it home.
No, I should bring that home. I know, that's my favorite. That's my favorite, how every once a season, everybody in the league wears 42 to honor Jackie Robinson, the man who broke through the color barrier that we set arbitrarily.
Right.
That we just decided, okay, fine, you can play. And he's a hero. I mean, good for him. He is a hero. But we were kind of the jerks on that one.
Right.
Okay, sorry to come down on that side of history. It's that has nothing to do with Christmas time.
No, it doesn't. But is it still Christmas? A great start. Do we do the intro? Like, is this the longest cold open ever? No, there's no intro on this episode.
No, I feel like just doing it. We're already going. We're already going.
Wow. Let's roll. It's all just one big cold open to nothing.
Yeah, put that coffee down.
Okay. All right. Oh, hey.
Coffee is for closers only.
Okay. I have a coffee.
So do I. Yeah. I'm gonna close this.
Okay. All right. Interesting little bit of.
I'll be the judge of that.
Baseball knowledge. I'm going to throw it into the universe there. Not really baseball, but sort of. We were in the mall yesterday looking for a couple stocking stuffer gifts.
Okay.
for my wife, me and the kids. And anyways, we just stopped by the jersey, kind of fancy card paraphernalia, jersey, all the collectible stuff store. I can't remember the name of it, but whatever. They have it in every city in
Canada. Cards and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Something like that. Anyways, they had a Yankees George Costanza signed jersey in there. It was like $900. Okay. Next to it, Vladdy Guerrero. Wait,
was it actually signed by
signed
Jason
by
Alexander?
Jason
Alexander.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything was signed in there. So they had George Costanza's New York Yankees jersey. I can't remember 100%. I think it was 00 was the number on it, but it's signed by Jason Alexander. Everything's signed in there. Anyways, they had that next to that one was more expensive, I believe, than the signed Vladdy Guerrero jersey. This was Vladdy Jr. Okay. Yeah. And then next to that, so I think Vladdy Jr.'s was like $600, which I thought like, oh, okay, that sounds about right. He's like going to be an MVP one year, I think. And he might be an MVP for 10 years in a row. Like he could be that good. Anyways, next to that, Ronald Acuna Jr., only $299. Seemed like a steal for a guy that was an MVP 2 years ago. Is that what happens? You blow your ACL and your jersey price plummets after being an MVP?
Maybe it does. I didn't know he blew his ACL.
I think it was his ACL. He had a big knee injury. Missed almost all of this year, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly did not. I paid attention to zero baseball this year, Major League Baseball. So I don't know. I guess that happens. Is the collectible market high again? Because it was big when I was a kid or a teenager, for example, like in 1990. That's when baseball cards had their resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
And Upper Deck was invented. Like they were like brand new. It was like, oh my God, they revolutionized what baseball cards were.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were going bananas. And so I think I still, or my dad probably tossed them, of course, because that's how the story always goes. But I had a couple of unopened boxes of, like, you'd get the packs of cards, but you'd get them in a box, right? Like,
right, yeah. You could buy sealed boxes of whatever, 72 packs or whatever it was.
Exactly. So I bought a couple of those at Costco. I bought a bunch and opened them all. And then, but then I also bought a couple of I was a loser, I'll be honest with you. But I bought a couple of boxes of like Don Russ and whatever and Upper Deck. And I forget the year, but I think there's a good chance, I think it was Ken Griffey Jr.'s rookie year.
Oh,
so the conceit is like, hey, is it inside? Is it not? We don't know. It could be 72 packs full of Ken Griffey Jr. rookies.
That's how they did it. Yeah, they just stuffed one box with all the Griffeys.
One guy got him. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. That's how it worked.
So, to answer your question, though, cards definitely have made a resurgence. I know this because, and I think COVID really had a lot to do with it in terms of people going into collectibles, just period, just something to do. And so collectibles and stuff you could easily swap on the internet, just absolutely skyrocketed. A dad on Jack's baseball team was telling about this probably in our summer season this past year. He was telling me because he was into cards. He had been for a long time and buying and selling cards. And he said a massive increase in what the valuable cards were going for.
Right.
No, I'd heard the average card.
No, but I'd heard that a lot of that was based on the fact that inflation is just out of control, so that it's like, well, you kind of want to put your money somewhere, so people kind of want to put it in something that's going to go up, and that's kind of inflated that market, or not inflated it necessarily, but made it go up, if that's a technical jargon, Adam. I don't want to go over your head.
What I noticed when I was a kid and when, you know, you were a kid, collecting cards has changed significantly from what it is now. So now you can buy, you know, it used to be just like, okay, you had Fleer and Don Russ and Opeachy or whatever. So you had the different card brands and they just basically had a set, right? There was just a set of cards. Well, now you've got like basically all these different lines within, say, Upper Deck. And they've got kind of the basic ones like, hey, if you're a little kid and you're going to put these in the spokes of your tires or throw them against the wall, you buy this sort of like the base brand. And then they go up and up and up, up to the point where, again, a card collector that I was talking to was telling me, like, you can spend $100 on a pack of cards.
No, now, I couldn't. No, I couldn't.
No, neither could I. But in that pack of cards, your chances are now of pulling autographed cards, like one in 100 cards. And so it's essentially becomes kind of more just gambling. It's like on the low end, right, nothing's worth anything. You're going to spend $2 on your pack of cards and you're going to get six that are part of a set that's still worth nothing. And then you go up and up and up. And so if you're actually into the card collecting, you're going to spend a premium. And then there's cards with, you know, pieces of paraphernalia, pieces like of a bat embedded into the card, pieces of jersey embedded into the, all this stuff. But again, it comes at a real premium. So we haven't gotten into any of that, but I have seen that it exists.
You know, my move was back in like, around 89, 90. It would have been 1990 because I would have had my driver's license that summer. I got my driver's license at the end of 89. And so would have been the summer of 90. We would drive down and we'd go to the Vancouver Canadiens baseball games at Nat Bailey.
Yeah.
And that was back in the days when they were the AAA club. So a lot of the guys were just a heartbeat away from the majors, right?
Yeah.
And so what would end up happening is that like you'd get your Topps cards or whatever they were, and they would issue, like maybe a guy played for, 15 games with the Yankees the year before, and they think he might make it again, so they'll issue him a baseball card, an actual baseball card, and then he gets sent down.
Right.
And so I remember, whenever I'd get these, I would recognize the names on the lineup card, and I would go and hang and get those guys to sign them after the game, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the guys, it was hilarious. There's this dude named Marcus Lawton. Now, maybe he's a big fan of the show. I don't know.
Probably.
But you don't know his name. Like he didn't make it, as far as I know, but he played a few games. I think it was with the Yankees and got traded to the White Sox, which I think was the team at the time with the Vancouver Canadiens. And I remember hanging out, waiting for him and getting him to sign it after. And I could tell, like, the look on his face, he felt like a big leaguer. Like, he was thrilled, but he was playing it cool. And I remember thinking that at the time. I was kind of impressed. I was like, that's pretty cool, actually, because he's trying to play. Like, his buddies are like, whoa, this guy's got your card. And he's just like, whatever. And he happily signed it. And then promptly did not make it, and so it cost me a bunch of money.
Oh, why?
Well, no, I mean, in theory, it cost you money that you
didn't put anything out. You put your 10 minutes in waiting.
Yeah. And we knew a guy, and that's funny because back then we one of our buddies was working the concession stand. So as soon as the game was over and cleared out, he basically would just bring us cardboard boxes full of all the leftover hot dogs and French fries and stuff. And so right. I probably made money on that one. We would sit and eat free hot dogs while I waited for Marcus's autograph.
Hey, to yes and you on that story, this story I saw on TV, so it's just equally as, it's a similar situation, like, a card situation, but it didn't happen to me. I just saw it about Wayne Gretzky, and it was something that stuck with me and remembered. And you might have heard this story because it was on some documentary about Wayne Gretzky or some CBC movie or whatever, but it's a well-known story. So our listeners, a few of them might even know this, but Wayne Gretzky, when he was at the height of his career and his popularity and his fame and all of that, they used to ride the bus quite a bit, and they still do, I think, for shorter games, like maybe, I don't know, Calgary to, I'm trying to think of where, Edmonton maybe. Edmonton. No. Sure. Yeah. But anyway, so when they would ride the bus, the people that basically made a living off of waiting at certain spots to get Wayne Gretzky cards signed so that they could turn around and sell them, like they knew his schedule and they'd be waiting for him at certain stops. And his dad, Walter Gretzky, kind of probably the most famous hockey father of all time, would also ride the bus to a fair amount of games. And so the story was kind of a little bit about Walter, a little bit about Wayne, but Wayne told the story that, sometimes he didn't feel like getting off the bus to sign the autographs because his kind of take was, well, these guys are just turning around and they're going to sell it for money. Like, they don't want my autograph. Mm. They just want to sell it. And his dad, the story goes that his dad said, you get off the bus and you sign those autographs because those guys have to make money just like you. And I kind of thought it was kind of a neat story and a totally different take on it, because I'd probably, if I was at that point where my autograph was worth money like that, I'd kind of feel the same as Wayne did, which is like, well, why should I like let them just make money off my name? And then the other take actually I kind of like better, which is, yeah, you should be really happy that your autograph, you writing something down, is worth money to these people. Now go help them out. They just stood here in the rain for an hour, right?
That's true. Yeah, I guess there's two ways to look. I always looked at it like the first one, where I was like, who are these guys? Like, go get a real job, man. Like, you know, when I was younger, because there was a Major League Baseball player who would do that. Was it baseball or hockey? I think it was baseball. I forget then whoever it was. He was like, yeah, I'll sign your card. Because after a while, they would stop signing for these dealers, and so these dealers would just have kids come up. They'd pay kids to go up and get autographs, and you know, go, hey, can you sign these 41 cards for me, please? So this I forget who it was. He would always sign them, but he would tear the corner off the card, and that
so it loses some of the value. Yeah, but that's dumb, because you just wasted your time. And it's like, yeah, at that point, you've already done your part. Why not let, like, it seems wrong to, why not let this person, you know, sell that? Like, it has value. I like the idea of, like, wow, you, that's kind of powerful, right? The fact that you just write your name down and then someone else can make money on that. That's pretty amazing.
Well, that's why towards the end of his life, Marlon Brando paid for everything with a personal check. Everything. Because nobody would cash it. They would always frame the check on the wall.
Oh yeah, this is from Brando.
Yeah. So it's like whatever it was way worth way more than the $1,200 for a refrigerator. So he's like, yeah, he just got everything for free.
Except for that wouldn't work now, because you could just snap a picture of that check and then cash it online and still frame the check. So you win both ways, and Marlon, you'd be broke.
Well, that's why he died. He saw the writing on the wall. He's like, I can't live in a world where we're doing online banking.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
That's what it was. So speaking of the good old days, I wanted to ask you about actually Christmas stuff. Because this is our, I think it's number 11, the 11th Christmas special. But it was 10 years ago we started.
We started doing this at Christmas?
No. Our first Christmas episode was 10 years ago today.
Which makes this 10 number years 11. To the day of our first one, but number 11. Wow, that's quite a math problem right there, yeah.
Well, you don't start at zero.
Oh, that's the trick. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This wasn't the number zero. So like, that's why it's like, you know, hey, when was Christ born? Why was it zero? Couldn't it be one? Like, you think? Yeah, or was so it confusing. Zero? Or how does it go? Yeah. So speaking of, I mean, that's his birthday coming up too. So we should sort that out. We did this 10 years ago was the first one, and things have changed in those 10 years, like on personal notes, like besides the world and all that, online banking being the biggest one. But how old was your daughter 10 years ago?
She's 14 now. So she was four.
Just move the decimal point. So she was 1.4. No.
1.4. Wait. Okay. Oh, that's.
Wait a second.
Oh,
hold on. That makes sense. I'm doing that math.
That makes sense.
She was 140. Jeez. Not good. So she was four. She's 4 years old. Yeah. So Christmas then, different than now.
True.
How?
That's a big 14. Question. she's 14. Yeah, she's 14. My son is 12. Obviously, they're much more independent. So I don't know when they're 4 and 2. So 10 years ago when they would have been 4 and 2, you went through those years. It's just basically wrangling them, like just trying to figure out, okay, if you're going anywhere, what are you bringing and what do you need for the kids? And, you know, are they going to be...
And there's a lot of contingencies too.
Yeah. And I don't remember being like, I don't know. I don't remember it being that difficult, but that's also because it's 10 years ago. So everything hindsight seems easier. Yeah. And my wife did most of it. So, no, that's not true. I think we've been pretty good, teammates through all the child
rearing. I'm sure you're teammates, but like, I will speak for myself and tell me if you can relate. When it came to leaving the house with kids who were like 2 and 4 or even younger, I would call it 2 and 4. Cause I went through it like about 2 years after you. Right. Something like that. 3 years, something like that. But, so 2 and 4, you got to bring snacks and
all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no way for me. I organized and packed snacks zero times.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm guilty. Yeah. Same thing.
I would always bring them. Like, my wife would pack them, and like, if I was taking the kids somewhere, I would definitely have them, but only because she did them.
Yeah, and that would be true for any outing for all time. My wife would definitely be the, and she's reminded me that she's done that, and she's given me heck for it on several occasions that she is right. Really the only person that's ever packed snacks for the kids. And yep, you're right, 100% guilty as charged. But yeah,
well, I think it's a bad thing though.
I remember thinking like all of our engagements around Christmas, going and seeing friends, everything being kind of over by 7 o'clock. Like it was just like, all right, now.
Just how you like it though.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's how I liked it. But also just like, you know, they get to that point where they start to get a bit cranky and then nobody's having fun anymore. And you might have this idea. And I mean, you probably did better than I did about them just sleeping where you were. My kids really weren't like that. They would just get whiny, and they would get like out of their, I'd call it out of their sort of element. And it would be just like, yep, time to take them out of here before they make us crazy.
Yeah, my kids, for whatever reason, nature, nurture, I have no idea. Doesn't matter. My kids were really awesome about sleeping anywhere. Like, literally anywhere. They're all good. Now,
that's good.
That did not preclude me.
Good trick.
It's a good trick to have, but that did not preclude me from using them as an excuse to get out of a boring party.
Sure.
Like, I would hit a wall, like, a lot of times at some of these parties that we'd go to with my wife's friends, and it'd be like, I can't take another story about Germany stuff. Like, honestly. Oh, good, you have rules, and you're neat and punctual. I don't know. Whatever you do in Germany, right? And it's like, I can't take it anymore. And so I'd be like, oh, yeah, we got to get the kids home. You know, that was my out. Now, we don't really have that anymore, though, because my kids, you know, they don't want to go home.
Yeah, you should get a dog and then you have an out.
That's why you got the dog, to have an out.
The dog is a permanent out because you gotta get home for the dog. The dog is not probably coming with you to most of those engagements. So yeah,
right.
Time to get home for the dog. Gotta let the dog out or whatever it might be. Relating to the dog. So yeah, just like having a baby, although the dog is much simpler, like I will say that, than a child. I know whoever said that, you know, it's just like having a baby. Yeah, except for a lot easier than having a baby. You have to be there. That's
well, I find advice from people, like when you hear those kinds of things from people, you realize that most people are idiots. That was my takeaway. Remember that? Do you remember like when your wife was pregnant with Sarah? And you must have heard all the same advice, like, oh, man, your life is going to change. Your life as you know it is going to change. Yeah. No, it was kind of the plan, you know. Yeah. We did this on purpose. And then, you know what? It didn't really. I mean, it did, obviously. You have to have snacks. But it was like people make it out like, oh, my God, I invented child rearing. You know, like, no one had kids until I did it. And then I'm the first. And I always pointed out to people like, hey, there's 7 billion people in the world. Like, get over yourself.
Yes, true.
Yeah, and you'll be fine. And
I think the same is true with, you know, an animal is like, all right, you kind of have a plan, just like a child. And if you stick to the plan and everyone follows the rules, there's going to be individual variations. So it's hard to say. I have a sample size of one dog and two children. So I can only speak to those individuals. And I have to say, I think we've been fortunate on all three accounts. The kids were pretty good. The dog has been exceptionally good. And so I feel like Jack got potty trained in one day, and therefore I could write a manual on potty training. Or he just could pee when you told him to go pee, right? So
yeah.
I don't know that there's any manual that just has a kid that just basically say, oh, go over there and pee and just pees. Well, the dog's the same way. The dog just goes to the bathroom. If you take her outside and say, go pee pee, she just goes, right?
So, I think everyone's scared of you and you just make them pee.
So yeah, maybe that's it. But yeah, like all of those things where I think people struggle, it's just a matter, I think, of a lot of it, of the individual. And then if you have an individual that sort of, you know, you're lucky and has some of those abilities, then it's really just about praise, and then they do it, right? So yes. I'm big on positive reinforcement for
things. I was gonna rephrase your praise into positive reinforcement, yes.
Yeah, and so I truly believe it's a way stronger motivator in life for anything, and I find that that's right. been the case my whole life, and that's been the case in my kid's life, and it will be the case in my dog's life, is just reward, positive action. And that reward can just be praise and a pat on the back, or in the case of the dog, a tummy rub. Like those are the things that they appreciate, and therefore they respond to them. And I find in sports or whatever, when I was a kid, or negative reinforcement just turns people off generally. Like it just they don't want to do better for that. And if they do, it's not a long-term motivator. It might be a short-term motivator, but I'm not a fan of negative reinforcement.
Nah, you're wrong, idiot.
Yeah, exactly. So now I want to do better. I don't want him to call me an idiot. Yeah.
Dude, I don't want him calling me that anymore. Oh, I just peed. Oh, no. He made me do that. So, but what I was thinking about, it's like what, you know, obviously you can tell there's big differences between when your kid was 4 and now she's 14 and how Christmas changes. And plus, we also were going through this nonsense in the world that's not helping. So it's not like you're hitting Van Dusen Gardens and the light show and every single night like you used to do the December Christmas tour, right?
Right.
So like that's obviously changed, and same with, you know, you're probably not hitting as many open houses. Maybe you'll see friends, but it's not quite the same.
No, it's not the same. Just not this past 2 years. So, but that's not, that's just the world as opposed to more the kid's age. It just seems, this is just a weird time in the universe right now.
It is a weird time, and that's a good way of putting it. But think back. So think back to, but when you were, because what I'm noticing now with my kids. So my kids are 10 and 8, so a couple years behind you. What I'm noticing is like they're starting to get into the age where I remember being that age.
Okay.
Because like when they're 3, I have vague memories of
zero memories.
Flashes of when I was 3 or 5 or 7. Like those, like there's little moments, you know, and they all involve peeing in public, actually.
Yeah. So,
generally, there'll be little flashes, or like I'll see some photos like from then, and I will have vague memories of certain things. But as I'm, you know, I can think back to when I was 10 and what I was doing and where I was playing baseball. Even then, it's foggy because I was drinking a lot of whiskey back then.
Yeah.
But now I'm trying to compare the lifestyle, like how things were, like specifically Christmas. But in general, what life was like then when I was 10 and what it is for the kids now. Do you remember being 14?
Not really. I don't really remember. I have little snapshots of my life as a teenager, but again, it mostly pertains to sleeping in late, having kind of a red shag carpet in my bedroom, and consuming most of my time with hockey. Like that's kind of, but anything more specific than that, like someone has to remind me of something, and then I'll like, oh yeah, I remember that. But I'm not just conjuring memories. I think it's kind of that whole thing where you're just consumed with maybe what's happened in the last 6 months. That's all my brain can attend to.
Well, right, but back then, I mean, I'm sort of the same way. I have some sort of signposts along the way of, I remember this, or I remember playing baseball or hockey. I remember being on that team or whatever it was. I don't remember all the details, which is probably a good thing. It means you didn't have a traumatic childhood, you know. Like if you remember, oh yeah, that happened. Like, you don't want that. But I do remember back then that like you got summer vacation was, you know, 8 weeks, right? From school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felt like 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's true.
Like, oh my God, you got 2 months off. Like I cannot believe it. Like, you know how much, like, it's unbelievable. And then now it's like, yeah, I blinked. Eight weeks went by.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And I, everyone says that, and I don't know what the phenomenon is that makes time kind of work like that. But I think universally people agree that that's the case, right?
Well, I guess it's a percentage of your life, though. Like when you're when you're 10 years old, 2 months is whatever percentage of your life. Do the math on that.
A bigger, you know? Bigger percentage. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're 10, it's 1/60th of your life. 1/60th.
You know? Not so that's what makes it more relative. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, wait. 1/60th? Yeah, 1/60th. I did the math. Hey, 1/60th. I did it right.
But here's the, you know, I'll throw a little bit of loop your way is that most patients that I see that would be kind of in their later years, and let's say they're dealing with, you know, pain, right? Like, so then time seems to slow down again, right? Like, because if you're in pain every day and that pain is kind of gradually getting worse, you don't remember a time before you had pain very well, right? Like, this is just, it becomes again, a weird function of time. So and that would be a very small percentage of your life, relatively speaking.
As someone who went through a number of years experiencing chronic pain, like horrible pain, I can attest to that. What you're saying is time does slow down, and not in a good way. Not like, oh my God, this is great. And you cannot remember a time before you're like, did I used to not hurt? Like, I can't believe that. And why? Yeah. But also, why did I waste so much of my life doing X when I wasn't hurting? Why? Oh, I should have been out, you know, inventing things and parachuting and going to space. I should have been doing that.
Yeah, you know? Why not?
And then I stopped hurting and went right back to sleeping on the couch. So it came full circle.
Yeah.
So so what's the first Christmas that you remember then? Like, what did you get for Christmas when you were a kid?
I don't really remember. I think we've kind of had discussions about things we've gotten in Christmases past. Yeah. And I'm bad at this because I don't really remember a whole lot of like really substantial Christmas presents. And that's the same with birthdays. Like, we didn't do it up in a big, like, oh, you got like 10 presents. Like, my kids now compared to then, like, you know, they get like, I don't know, 5-6 things to open, regardless of big or small. They have, I don't
on
remember.
Christmas or birthday?
No, on Christmas. On birthday, it's usually one or two, depending, right? But it's usually one kind of bigger thing. On Christmas, I feel like they get maybe a bigger thing, but then some smaller things too. Like, there's more volume, I would say, in Christmas now than there was for me as a kid. I never remember getting a whole bunch of presents. I remember it being much more about just like gathering with family. Like, I had my dad's side of the family, my dad's brother and his wife and my cousin that lived about 2 hours from where we grew up in Toronto. And that would be where we would go for Christmas. Small town, Hanover, Ontario, population, like, I don't know, I have to look it up. I'm going to say like back then, like 18,000 people. So relatively small little town, little downtown strip, very wintry. And I remember we'd go there, there'd be some tobogganing, there'd just be a lot of family games and sort of like just chilling. Like, the kids would go downstairs and watch, you know, silly movies on a VCR and play board games and play street hockey and all that. That's kind of what Christmas is, do some tobogganing. But I don't really remember the present part other than, and this is probably bringing up from Christmas past, listeners who followed us for years might remember, is that the one thing I do remember is like that GT snow racer that I didn't even get, my cousin got, and we took it to the hill that they had, kind of a nice little hill, maybe a 2-minute walk from where their place was. And I remember one day just kind of tobogganing all day, everyone taking turns on the GT snow racer, which was one of those sleds kind of like Sam has, that has the skis on the bottom. It had like three skis and a steering wheel, and you could actually navigate it instead of just bombing down on your crazy carpet, which is what we kind of had spent most of our time doing.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's the reason I ask, because I can't remember. I can remember a couple of presents I got when I was a kid because I thought like they were the greatest thing of all time. Like, I got walkie-talkies 1 year when I was like 35. No, sure. I was like 5 years old. I got walkie-talkies, like actual functioning walkie-talkies, which I thought was the greatest of all time. But it's a different time, right? Like, there was no
cell
phone.
Now your 5-year old has, I was going to say, now your 5-year old has a cell phone. It's like cell phone junior. There you go.
Don't start with that. Right? That's a whole separate conversation that, Oh, that's blowing up right now.
Cell phone. No, there's
kids. Yeah, my kids. That's what my daughter wants. She's 10. That's what she wants more than anything for Christmas. Is she wants her own smartphone.
Sure.
She's not going to get one. It's going to be disappointing Christmas this year.
Yeah.
But she's one of four kids in her class that doesn't have one.
Right.
And my son, who just turned 8, and there's already 5 or 6 kids in his class who do have one in grade 3.
Right.
And I was like, well, you're not getting one either. Although I will buy him one before my daughter just to blow the house up.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
No, but that's a whole separate conversation. But so I think back on some of those things I got for Christmas, and my mom was the opposite. We got a lot of presents, which if you want to get into the psychobabble, it was compensating for other things, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Point being, like, it was more important to her that there be like a Christmas tree full of presents, right?
Yeah.
Although I look back, and aside from a couple, like I said, the walkie-talkies and maybe one or two other things, I can't remember any of them specifically.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So the point is, it didn't matter. It was much like you. Like, it was more so the experience of, you know, family coming over. Even though my family was a gong show, I didn't have cousins like that. I didn't have anyone my age. I didn't, you know, we had our family come over and they would just air grievances from the previous year. And
sure,
fight over whose turn it was to host Christmas. Like, why would you fight to host Christmas dinner?
Oh, I would fight to not host.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like I would be all Brer Rabbit on that one. Like, oh, it's okay, it's our turn. But if you want to host it, go ahead. You know, great, we'll come over. And back then you could still drink and drive, so it didn't matter, right?
Right.
Racism and drinking, driving drunk were still cool back then.
So, right.
Which was the hallmark of our Christmas. And both of those things. And I'll tell you the joke off the air that my aunt told when I was 6 years old. Oh my God, it was beautiful. Beautiful. No, she's dead now, so it all worked out. But yeah. Well, no, she's like 100, you know, like she was old.
She didn't die because of the joke, though, probably, right?
No. She died from being old or alcoholic or something. Probably both. Okay. They came over from Russia. This is from the old country, buddy. Like, it was a different world.
Right.
Came over during the revolution. Like, literally came over during the revolution. And so she's well over 100 now.
Okay.
So there you go. Anyways, that was my great aunt. So point being, so like right now, like, I'm struggling. Christmas is, well, 7 days away for you, 6 days for us, because we do the Christmas Eve here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling to get anything for my kids. Like, I honestly,
wow.
I don't know what, like, my kids literally have everything.
Yeah, and so do mine, but they when they get a little older, they just tell you. They come up with their wish list, and then usually...
she's told me the wish list is a smartphone.
Oh, okay, so it's that narrow. She doesn't have a range. Like, my kids, like, literally write lists, and I think they have everything, but no, they come up with a list of things, and we get a few things off the list. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. See, my issue is my son just had his birthday, like, a few days ago. We can go.
Yeah, that's hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's on top of Christmas, and, you know, like, everybody lives forever, and Amazon makes everything free now. And so, like, and everybody wants to get them. So we're at the point where, like, we'll get, like, friends of ours want to buy to get the kids something. And then we have, you know, grandma and grandpa. Here we have Oma and Opa, who are, fortunately, they're still together, Oma and Opa. And so... they get the one thing, but then I have, you know, my parents are not together. And so they each want to get, you know, something for our kids. And then, you know, my sister, and then it goes on and on and on. And they ask, hey, what should we get them? And I'm like, I literally don't know what I'm getting them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, we're just struggling. Like, oh my goodness. Like, so at one point, like, we're, you know, I was talking with my wife and it was like, well, The kids are starting to get into the age now where, like, they need computers for school, right?
Sure.
And so I was like, okay, well, I actually use my computer, like, all the time because I do, you know, a ton of work on it. So it can't really be the family computer. So I was like, you know what? Fine. We're going to buy a computer for the family, like a family one as well.
Sure.
You can't now, though. they're all back ordered until February.
Oh, because chip shortages.
I guess, you know. So now I'm looking through the used one. That's why I messaged you the other day about, hey, how old is your computer? Because I thought you had an older one that was still kicking ass. And so I was like, okay, great, I'll buy one of those for cheap. But yours is newer than I was looking at.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Apple has that used. I don't know if they do the same in Germany, but Apple has their used part of their website where you can.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Did you check that?
Is that a German thing? I checked the refurbished. Yeah. No, they have that too. Yeah, they have it here too. So whatever. That was going to be one thing for the family, and then so it may still. We'll see if we can find something. But I was comparing.
You're talking about like a full like desktop computer.
We're going to go iMac, of course. I'm a snob.
Yeah.
My wife wanted, she's like, well, we should get a laptop. And I was like, there's no way we're getting a laptop. Because in a week later, we're buying another laptop.
They'll drop it or something.
I dropped it because I lit it on fire. And I'm like, well, obviously you have to drop it then. And yeah. There's no way it's not getting dropped. Like, it's going to go down the stairs. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, I don't know about you, like, I kind of like the idea of having an established work area.
Sure. I have one. I enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoy having my kind of workspace. I think a lot of people do. Even though I don't use it all the time because it's sort of secluded. It's up in my bedroom. But that's part of what I like. I like right now, I like to go up and kind of be in my own space by myself to, you know, use the computer, edit photos, whatever. Sometimes I like, just being where everyone else is and just kind of looking on a computer, and having a laptop comes in handy in certain circumstances, but it's not my workflow. I'd much rather, if I'm going to do something, be on the big computer with the big screen and the dedicated space.
And the you are dedicating yourself to that task instead of multitasking, which exactly nobody can multitask.
I can't. I definitely
can't. No, you can't. Yeah. You are not your best. You're not the best at everything. Like, if you're doing three different things, you're not doing 100% on any of them. That's
true.
There's not your best. And I actually know this the other, like, because yesterday I actually had a little bit of a breakdown. Yesterday, because I was doing so many things at once, like I'm finishing up trying to figure out how to do tile, because I have to tile the backsplash of my laundry room area there with the sink and all that I built.
Yeah.
So I've never done tile before. Like, I literally do not know where to start. I can say the word tile out loud. I can even say it in German. Are you ready?
Fliesen. Yeah, I'm ready. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's multiple tiles. That's tiles or fliesen or fliese is a tile.
Okay.
So that's what that is. But after that, I'm like, I literally do not know where to start. And so I'm trying to figure that out and do that. Meanwhile, I'm building the mudroom bench with the built-in drawers and the whole built-ins over there. I'm building that on the other side at the same time. And I decided to make Christmas presents for a few people at the same time as all of this. But I was like, well, I actually have enough scrap wood. I can make 10 of these. So I'll make 10 of them at once while performing. So I'll cut these while the glue is drying on that. I'll come over here and do this. And I'm going to film all of it.
Mm.
So it came to a head yesterday. Yesterday morning, I walked my son to school. I actually take Scooter. We have a game. My son and I, we take the scooters to school every morning, and then I come home. Well, I get home at like 10 to 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have not done this in probably 5 years. I just went right back to bed. I on the couch, but I slept for 2 hours. Total meltdown. From doing too much.
Okay. All right. So don't.
Great,
so
your advice, Christmas story.
Yeah. Your advice is don't do too much. Yeah. No, I hear you. I come home and crash all the time. It's usually Friday. Friday I come home and after a week's worth of kind of trying to do too much, I just fall asleep on the couch at about 4:30 in the afternoon and sleep for about an hour. Family's around me, noise everywhere. I'm just conked out on the couch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's routine, though. That's routine. Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't really know, because your kids are in that younger age where I don't know. Germany, who knows? I'm not plugged into the 8 and 10 year old lifestyles these days, but I know that they just get more expensive. My kids just get more expensive as they get old. Now Sarah will be more close, so I think most of it will be between her and Lisa, because she's going to be, you know, clothes related, maybe some fancy shoes. She likes, you know, like kicks, right? She likes like runners that kind of accessorize right. with outfits and stuff. So
she her wish list,
I don't know. I think there's something called Dunks, which she's not going to get, but are really kind of fancy Nike runners that are impossible to get. And you got to order them, and they're probably, I don't know, I'm going to guess $300 or $400. So she's not getting those, but that was one thing that she wanted, some like, again, hard to find Dunks, I think they're called. The shoe people will know what we're talking about. And then clothes, like she likes clothes. So, and then Jack is going to be mostly driven around sports and video games. Like, so he wants the new hockey game, like the NHL 22. It's got, like, he wants, because it now has the Seattle Kraken, like the new expansion team. It's got their team and all that. And again, like, if you play other people online, they stop playing the previous year, so you can't ever find anyone to play against unless you have the newest version. So that's
diabolical, man.
Yeah, so the game companies know, they have servers. You can still play the 2021 online, but you sit there and wait for an opponent because everyone's playing the new version. So anyway, so he wants that. I don't know what else. There's always like, you know, we try to get a game, right? So when we were at the mall last night, we bought a new family game. I can't remember what it's called, Smartass or something. We'll see if it's any fun. I'm trying to think of what else the kids like. Oh, we got Jack a camera. You'll love this one. Well, I shouldn't say it too loud, because maybe it's within earshot. The camera for the PlayStation, so that he can basically like record, like, this is what he likes to do. So if you're playing like a baseball or a hockey and you make some kind of crazy highlight, like real move, or you can record it, you can talk through it and save it, but you need the camera to allow this function to happen. So what he does now is he takes his iPod or his phone, and he'll just record the screen, like, because you can go back into instant replays, and he'll be like, hey, look at this catch, right? And like showing his guy in slow motion, like leaping up over the fence and yoinking one back. And so, but it'll be on his phone, recorded off the screen of his computer or his monitor. And so he'll show me that way. So we got him the thing to make it more pro. Yeah.
Okay. So you got him the camera so that some dude in Russia can just watch your son 24/7.
Probably, yeah. That's probably how it'll work. Yeah. Yep. That's what we did. So
Stay in shape. Stay in shape. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. His channel. You can watch his channel coming soon. Yeah.
Is he gonna have a channel?
I doubt it. But he's very computer savvy. So I could see him, like, when he's like that. That could be something. And number one, he has a weird video game gift, if that's a thing. Like, he is exceptionally good at the sports games, like, so exceptionally good. I shouldn't even tell him that he can, like in the MLB, which people play worldwide, like, he plays in the absolute highest category on the hardest settings, and is very much a 500 player with what is a game that hundreds of thousands of people play online. So, and the hockey, he doesn't have the newest one, but he's exceptionally good for a 12-year-old playing probably 26-year-old dudes in their basements.
Okay, so my instinct is to mock that. However, I will avoid that, because it's much to my chagrin, it's a thing.
I know, like, and that's
like,
that's
kind of the, he could go, this could be his job, dude. He could go
I kid you not. I know. I don't think that's something that should be in his head or anyone else's, but I'm
sending him a message. Your dad says you should be a professional video game player.
It's scary. And so it's funny because he'll like get me to watch. And like I, as a kid, was kind of the kid amongst my friends that was really good at that stuff. And I could come in to the friends and even not have the game and pick it up and play it pretty quick. And I thought I was good at this stuff. And I would be able to compete with him playing some of these games until like 2 years ago, and now it's impossible. He just destroys me, and it's so frustrating because I'm competitive. Well,
you've gotten worse, though. There's no, like, once they went for me, once they went from two buttons to three buttons, I was like, well, you lost me. I'm out.
Yeah, I was still pretty good at it. It was just one of those things that, again, I think you either have an innate sense of how to play that stuff, or it's just not something that you've done. And again, I would have called myself naturally a good at video games if that's a thing. And he's got that like times a thousand, like scary good. But that's why we don't want him spending all of his time doing that. So he has very strict limitations, because otherwise, like, that's what he would do. And I'm sure in some level, he's going to be involved in some programming or something, because again, it's just absolutely a magnet for it. But because there's actual talent, and like anything, you see your kid has a aptitude for, you know, math, which he does too, or memory, which he does, or sports. And then this is just like, all right, like I know there's different gifts, and that's just a gift. It's not one that I would have chosen for him, but it's there.
So has he been down to EA Sports in Burnaby yet?
No, we're not going to do any of that stuff. Again, just like anything, he's 12, right?
Yeah, I understand that. But to point him in the right direction, to let him know that, like, you don't have to do it now, but that is a career. Like I mean, like actual, the programming, the design, like, have you ever been down to that? Like that campus down there in Burnaby is amazing.
I've heard it's pretty crazy. I don't think you can just go. I treat some people that work at EA, and I think it's very different now with COVID. I don't think you can just go. Like I'm it's sure, a compound. Yeah. It's all sealed off. I think a lot of people like that would work there aren't even there anymore. They're working all remotely. So yeah, I don't really think you can just show up and have a tour, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. And
well, no, again, I wouldn't just show up, but if you treat no people, like, so back in the day, a guy I used to play baseball with, well, not a great baseball player, but fun guy to hang around with. He worked for EA Sports. And we actually knew a few guys. I think you know a couple guys that used to work there. Anyway, so he's working there. They just built a new campus back in the day. He's like, hey, man, come down, check it out. And his name was Dylan, so of course he was cool, right?
Yeah.
And so I go down there, and he's like, oh, yeah, Robbie Williams was here the day before and recording something. I'm like, oh, there you go. And anyway, so I'm in his office, and I'm looking, and there's a picture of him on the wall, like just him with just some dude just hanging out. And I was like, in his office, right? And I was like, Dylan, is that Tommy Lee? He's like, yeah, you know, he's a buddy of mine. I'm like, wait, back up, buddy. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, so a guy who works here, he knows them. And so I went on tour with Motley Crue for 3 days down in Texas. And yeah, it was awesome. On the tour bus, hanging out, driving around Texas. Started ripping off some stories that I cannot tell here. And he's like, yeah, so now I just hang with Tommy Lee whenever I'm in California. I go to California, I'll go down to LA, like, you know, every month, and just stay at his house. So we're pals.
Right.
All right, then. So I'm telling you, get Jack down to get him into video games. It's going to be fun.
The weird thing too, that was funny, and there's just kind of a aptitude thing of like how you can tell people are good at certain things, is that we bought the MLB game this year. We never play, like, we'd had a couple previous editions that we just played against each other head to head, just fooling around, didn't really know how to play the game. And then a couple of kids on his baseball team who'd gotten it every year and, like, you know, play it more seriously and are all into it, you know, started saying like, oh yeah, we should play online and everything. And so he'd never really played that game, and it's been out forever. Like, they every year for the last, I don't know, 10-15 years, they put out MLB the Show editions, right? Yeah. And so the game has changed slightly, but it's essentially the same core gameplay that it's always been, with better graphics and little nuances. They changed the pitching schematics, the hitting, like there's just little tweaks. So kind of like any game, if you've played it all the way along, you have a massive advantage. Well, he hadn't, and he got the new edition, and within a couple months is just destroying kids like his age. So then that's where he had to go online to play adults. And again, you earn points and you keep moving up ranks. Well, he got to the absolute highest rank, and it shows you how many thousand people are in each rank and how many points you can earn and all of this stuff. And as he started explaining to me, I started looking at going, it was crazy. And then I watched how the game actually plays. And like when you hit the ball or whatever, you have these tiny, tiny little spot that you need to hit it on the bat in order to get a hit. Whereas when you start on the lower levels, it's obviously a lot more margin for error. And I tried it several times. I could never even put the ball in play. It was so hard.
Right.
Yet in the moments, like literally milliseconds of making your brain adjust to the ball, like you, like in baseball, coming in on a screen and you needing to find this dot to the exact point it's going to wind up that quickly. And you either can do it or you can't, right? Just like hitting an actual ball. You can either do it or you can't. Some of it you can't right. teach. It's just too hard, right?
So keep it up. Keep it up, and he can hang with Vince Neil.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, look for him in 10 years on the whatever they call it, you know, like the video gaming leagues. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. They have stadiums right. here. Did you know that? There's in yeah, Richmond.
I know.
There's a couple places like
gaming. There's got to be out in Ironwood somewhere.
Venues. Yeah. I don't know yeah. about Ironwood. Yeah. There is one on Three Road. There's two on Three Road, I think, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. That's where you can keep talking, but I'm going to leave.
Okay. Is it time to finish?
Yeah, I think so. It was a while ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. No, I think
Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Well, yeah, I was hoping to end on a super hilarious joke story.
Oh, so tell us something about your mom.
There you go. That's it. About Christmas past. Yeah, that'll do it.
What
something
would she
about
usually
your mom.
What would she say on her way out of the party? How about that? Like, did she have a sign off?
On the way out of a Christmas party?
Yeah.
There's a lot of swearing and crying, and I'll never see you guys again. I hope I never see you again. But then next year we would have it again. We would do it at some. It would always be at someone else's house, though.
My grandmother, she had this famous line that she said. It wasn't pertaining to holiday season or birthdays or anything. It was pertaining more to weddings, but it was a great sign off that I think we can go out on. And you could say this at your next Christmas party. So especially if you're at someone else's house, it doesn't work at your own house, but
yeah,
you basically, the sign off is, may you fill your house with lovely appliances. My grandma said that to my dad, I think, at his wedding. I think that was the, okay. I think I have to check. I think it was around a wedding, and it was like, that was like, hey, aspire to this. May you fill yes. your house with lovely appliances. But I think it's just a great line. I use it.
And that
it
was your grandmother. Your grandmother's name was Gladys Frigidaire.
Yeah. No, she did not run an appliance business. So it seems random, but it's awesome. Yeah. I really like that line. Yeah.
Okay, everybody. That's the show. There's no way. There's zero people listening at this
point. No. There's somebody's listening. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, sorry. All right. That's it. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a good haul. Whatever it is. I don't even care if it's Christmas. Have a good holidays. Have a good time of year. And we'll see you next week.
Okay.
You know how I sign off, Adam?
How?
Later, Hosen.